Radio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Behnke, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we soak in the fact that the Packers are the NFC North champs after embarrassing the Vikings in front of a national audience. And get ready for the final regular season game of 2019. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got
Za'Darius Smith.
We got the bad, we got
all those freaking turnovers.
We got the ugly, we got
that fucking Vikings horn. And hey, there is no uglier sound on this planet than that fucking horn. However, there is a video that captures the classless, the complete
classless
lack of any genuine
you mad, bro?
Emotion. Look at Mike Zimmer.
Dude, what if Matt LaFleur was just like, you mad, bro?
or just said, okay, boomer. I mean, Zimmer can't even look at him. He can't even look at the man who just kicked his ass for the second time this season. The rookie head coach. Man, I kind of hope Zimmer sticks around just so LaFleur can stick it to him again next year. That's what I want.
Oh, man. It was great. It was great. There were a lot of things. I can now focus. I love the fact that we reset. My mind is calm now. It was like a meditation exercise. Appreciate that.
Oh, man.
You know what? You know what I should have done, Nagler?
What's that?
Okay, go on. Go. Yeah, yeah. This is what I should have done.
This is exactly what you should have done.
I can't even carry.
Watch out for that. There it is. Oh, yeah.
That's what I should have done.
That's what you should
have. Relax.
Just relax. Hey, well, Corey, what is that?
It's an acoustic panel.
An acoustic panel?
That's one of 17 acoustic panels going in the new Cheesehead TV podcast studio.
Amazing. That's incredible. All right. Are you ready for some Packers news?
Oh, man. I mean, at least this proves we're live.
Yeah, we are very live. No doubt about it. Yeah, because every other transplant has been a
pre-recording.
Tape recording.
It's pre-recorded.
Yeah, exactly. The Packers are NFC North champs!
Woo! The NFC North is not enough.
The North is not enough. Not enough, people. I'm just telling you right now, it's not enough. But they are NFC North champs. It feels fucking great. And with a win on Sunday, they can sweep the division. Sweep the division. But speaking of Sunday, Jamal Williams will not play versus the Lions. LaFleur all but ruling him out earlier this afternoon.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Although they have survived without Jamal before, namely the Cowboys game where they put up 40 insane like plus points. Speaking of guys who probably won't play on Sunday, Jake Kumerow and Danny Vitale did not practice today. Kumerow because he is ill. Vitale, he is dealing with a knee injury that has kept him out of practice all week. So I would expect Vitale most likely will be sat down. Kumerow has a chance to play. I mean, I'm hoping it's a 24-hour thing and he's back. Hopefully we get an email tomorrow taking him off the injury report. And then finally, the Packers converted part of Aaron Rodgers' roster bonus into a signing bonus, meaning that they can prorate it over the length of his deal. Essentially, it adds a little bit of cap hit to 2019. It affords them $11.4 million worth of cap space in 2020, which tells you, you know, they're maneuvering to make some moves this offseason / maybe extensions, although you would think they would probably get an extension done now if they were looking at that, namely a number one being Kenny Clark. The deadline to get that deal done and have it count against this year's cap is 3 p.m. Central on Saturday. I doubt that happens. All eyes on the offseason after the Packers win the Super Bowl, after Corey and I are in Miami for a week doing Packer transplants every single day. That's right, people. That's what I'm talking about. By the way.
Carry the relax.
Funny. Corey can barely carry the relax.
I can't even carry nothing.
Can't carry nothing. But I'm not joking, people. You probably think I'm joking. I'm not joking. We're going to Miami, and the Packers are going to be there, people.
Wait, you're calling that?
I mean, why not?
All right, I had to get through all the chats so I could kind of put them in the queue so we could have them for later.
The queue for the chats and the chats in the queue?
Yeah, the queue. I don't think we're pulling Facebook, though. FYI.
Cheesehead TV meetup for the first playoff game coming from California. I don't think we'll be doing a meetup for the first playoff game. But if I tell you what, if they get to the NFC Championship game, we'll throw down. But there's a lot of ball game left there, folks. Let's talk about the offense, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Aaron Jones being a touchdown machine.
You know what's funny?
What's that?
Is I don't understand this, but I really like my brother-in-law. He's like really smart about stuff, but we kept getting in an argument over Christmas about he was like, Aaron Jones isn't a good running back. And I'm like, okay. And then he was throwing like my whole, like during the game, I'm like, stats don't matter because that's my thing.
Right.
And so then I was like, what are you talking about? And like, there's this thing that's in the national media that's like, oh, like, I'm like, bro, have you ever actually watched him play?
Yeah, no.
Like, did Clearly you watch not. The game? Like, the dude has really
took over the game.
Pretty crazy,
he took
amazing
over the game.
Vision.
Took over the game.
And like, the guy, like, quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And the Packers especially have quietly.
Especially on the national stage.
What's my whole thing? Like, it's like we're a small town team. Right. We are a national team.
Yep.
But we're the team everybody beats on, right? Everybody beats on us. The stupids beat on us. The national, right?
Oh,
it's
like, narratively.
The Packers, yeah, the narrative is always, no matter how well we're doing, right?
Right.
Unless Aaron Rodgers,
is like playing God level.
100,000 quarterback rating, right? Yeah. Unless his QBR is like off the charts, right? The national media's basic thing is, the Packers are doing good, but they don't have X, or they don't have Y, or they don't have
it's
this,
always,
right?
There's another team.
Because they haven't actually watched the games, right?
Right.
It's like, and I understand their thinking. I was looking through, and actually, you know what? I had, like, notes.
I came into Corey's office today, and he was actually doing research.
I was taking
insanity.
Notes.
Insanity.
I was taking notes.
Insanity.
And one of the big notes, when we get to defense, I'm going to talk about that.
Right.
One of the big takeaways is I understand why they're making this argument.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look statistically everywhere on the team stats, right?
Right.
We are falling middle of the road. We're between 15 and 22 on like literally
offensively,
every
definitely.
Offensively
yeah, yeah.
and defensively.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some pressure stuff that's like really showing up, especially
right.
lately. But when you actually look at the trends in the last quarter of football, we are very high on a lot of stats, right? So you look at the last five games and we're trending very well.
Especially
last,
defensively.
Yeah, yeah. But offensively too. There are some trends that are doing. So, you know, I'm not going to bring up a person that really annoyed me that we're not going to talk about, but I understand why. If you watched all the Packer games this year,
right?
There's no way you can look at Aaron Jones and not think he's like one of the best
running backs
in the NFL.
100%. No
but
question.
If you only watched the Dallas game, and
if you only watched the highlights, if you watch the national games, where say the Panthers game or the Eagles game, you know, it's like the Eagles game in particular, where he had a drop touchdown, blah blah blah. Like there are games where he might be off, and they lean on Jamal a little bit more, and because of that split, because of the fact that they do kind of rotate those guys, I think he definitely gets shortchanged. And are there plays, like I think that Bears game is a perfect example of where there are two really glaring moments where he gets blown up in pass pro. It's, oh, he's not a complete back. It's like, no, he had a couple bad plays. He's actually really improved in pass protection. But as far as like being a dynamic presence in the offense and being able to, like I said, take over the football game, he did that on Sunday.
Yep.
Or Monday night, sorry. He absolutely did. And no, obviously it's a team game. Guys have to execute, especially we'll talk about it here, the wide receiver position, blah blah blah, but he's a absolute bona fide weapon. But as to your point, no one seems to want to give him props for it. And it's funny because the one kind of comparison I always get thrown at me by people who are trying to push back on Aaron Jones is always Alvin Kamara in New Orleans, who has been out injured for a chunk of the year, so I understand it's not a direct comparison, but Aaron Jones, all he does is sniff the end zone. All this kid does is get in the end zone. All he does is score touchdowns. Whereas Alvin Kamara, like before, I think it was last week, had like a few touchdowns on the year. And I get they have other weapons, but...
But when you look at Alvin Kamara, when you watch him like in games, he looks amazing.
He looks amazing. But so does Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of destroys me, because it's like, yeah, they both kind of are used in a rotational way. Kamara may be more physically imposing.
Yeah.
He may, and that's why he was drafted earlier.
Yeah.
And I get that. But Jones is every bit as good a football player as Alvin Kamara is.
I agree with you, but I also think if you polled 100 NFL experts.
Right, oh, yeah. They'd all take Kamara. Every single one of them.
If you said who's a better running back?
No. No question.
Alvin Kamara or Aaron Jones.
Which I think is ridiculous. That's just me.
It is, but I understand. It's funny, and I wonder if it's like it's a perception issue. It's weird because we play in all the high-profile games. We're flexed all the time. So it's really strange, but there is this, there's this thing perceptually
it's like,
about Aaron Jones don't understand.
Because they have to keep him fresh, and blah, 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 so he doesn't get all the carries, and he's a platoon back, and he only gets half the time, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're doing that to keep him fresh. Alvin Kamara is so much better, yet spent a bunch of time on the sideline this year. Because he was hurt, you know? So, yeah, I just think the perception of Aaron Jones nationally is a little off. That's just me. But speaking of Aaron Jones, the wide receivers, as you just mentioned, their blocking buy-in, especially down the stretch here, this last month or so, has really made the difference. And it's really the key to a lot of their success offensively, especially on Monday night. I mean, you look at the block that MVS has, you look at the block Lazard had on both of those touchdown runs, they essentially are the difference.
Yep.
That's the difference.
That's true.
In between becoming like a explosive run and a touchdown run, or a 10, 12-yard gain and a touchdown. It's that thing that, you know, LaFleur talked about it all summer, the need for the wide receivers to buy in. And look, obviously, these guys are not the most talented group in the world. That has been covered ad nauseum. But as I have said all year long, and people keep trying to throw this back in my face, oh, you like the wide receivers. Yes, I do. They have all the talent necessary to win. And so far, they have played 15 games, and they won 12 of them.
Yeah. Wait, I want to talk about our receivers. So Tyler, and we're not going to take chats right now, but Tyler Hartsome, thanks for this. Kamara stats, 477 carries, 2,369 yards, 25 touchdowns. I don't know. I can't confirm this is true, but I'm just going to assume it is. Right. Jones stats, 425 carries, 2,160 yards, 28 touchdowns. So three more touchdowns, a little bit less yards. And then what's up? Aaron Jones' mutt card is better than Kamara's mutt card, so at least EA thinks he's better, which is not a small thing, right?
No, I'll take
there
it.
There are algorithms.
Well, it's
not just 20-year-olds.
No, but they have a human being or a bunch of human beings doing like ratings adjustments now.
I want to do that.
That'll be a good gig, right?
I want to do that just for the Packers.
We'll do it. We'll start our own kind of franchise.
I want to do that. I want to be like,
that'll be good. We'll create all our own players. That'll be good. Speaking of Matub, he has a created quarterback that is like a monster. Like he's like 20 feet tall and like runs all over everybody. It's great. Anyway.
Apparently Wes and Mike's audio was fine.
Oh, of course it was. Of course it was. Today, of all days. You know why? You know why it was fine? You know why it was fine? Because they keep it simple. They don't want to bring the heat to Packers fans. That's we true. Bring all the love.
That's true.
We bring all the love to Packers fans.
That's true. But the blocking thing, wait, I want to get back because I didn't really. I mean, so I agree. This is the biggest knock right now. Okay, I'm going to bring up. It's Cowherd. It's Cow Pie.
Oh.
Okay. So Cow Pie on right after he's got this
whole
thing.
He's just baiting you.
I know he's baiting me and he's specifically baiting me. I know. But this whole thing that people are saying in the national narrative, right? Oh, they only have Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams. And then who do they got? And I'm like, OK, show me an offense in the NFL. Show me an offense that has a top five running back, a top five wide receiver. And has somebody else in the top 10 that's like legit.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
It's just funny because
even San Fran, look at San Fran. They got Kittle.
Yeah. And then they traded for Sanders because they were desperate.
Seahawks.
That's the other
thing.
They
just brought in a running back. It's like, are you looking at
a running back who retired?
Are you looking at the NFL? That's my biggest problem. It's what I said last week, too. It's like you're judging the Packers based on your own perception of reality and actually not comparing them to the rest of the NFC. Show me an NFC team right now. Right. Show me an NFC today that is in the playoffs.
Right.
That is actually has a better squad of players on offense than the Packers.
The initial pushback.
The Saints, maybe.
The Saints will be your initial pushback.
Kamara's injured,
although
right?
I will say, well, no, he has been injured. He's back now. But the thing is with Michael Thomas, who is a beast, there is no question about it. You take, you know, you roll coverage to Thomas and you make those other guys beat you, especially possibly January and Lambeau. I like their chances.
I love their chances.
That's all.
And I also think MVS, Gmo,
Kumaro,
which Kumaro's
Lazard
this weekend. Lazard for sure. Lazard is making his way to a real number two, but take away Lazard, he's actually in the number two camp. But yeah, just take MVS upside, Gmo upside, Vitale upside, Jay Sternberger upside, right? And Kumaro, yeah, and Tanyan. You got six guys that are not just guys, right? There have been times, and they might prove to be.
I think
just
MVS
guys.
Of all the guys you just listed, I think MVS and Sternberger are the guys that literally still have like untapped potential that could eventually turn into something in the league. The rest of them are just guys, and that's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, Gmo is probably done what he's going to do in the NFL.
Really?
As far as reaching his potential, he is who he is. I don't think he's ever going to be like a standout guy that's going to like make highlights, etc. But he's definitely a ditch digger. He's somebody who can help you win, which is what I've been saying all year. And that's why it gets misconstrued of this. They don't have any talent. They have enough talent to win. And there's a monster difference there.
Yeah.
This idea that, and Aaron Rodgers has talked about it a lot. Matt LaFleur was asked about it today. This idea of guys buying into their roles. You talk about Big Dog. When they brought him back this offseason, a lot of people were like, wow, I'm kind of surprised. I mean, what, he had three targets last year? Like, barely contributed at all in any phase of the game. This year, very involved in the run game, used judiciously, if we're being charitable, in the passing game. But a guy is completely bought in. Look at Tanyan, same weight since he came back from injury. He's not used a lot. Hell, Sternberger was freaking a healthy scratch on Monday night. And he's probably got the most potential out of anybody outside of those big two, outside of Jones and Adams. But it's like everyone just wants fantasy stats or Madden ratings right now.
That's not, But
no
also,
one looks at the 30,000-foot view and looks at how we're constructing a roster, how we're gathering talent,
well, and also
and building something.
30,000-foot view, meaning like look at the NFL as it exists.
That's the other thing.
This isn't your daddy's NFL where you had all that. And also, MVS,
stuff.
Your point about MVS. MVS is the block that springs Aaron Jones.
Absolutely.
And it's a 100%. Sustaining block.
Yes.
It's literally 15 yards down the field. It's crazy.
Right.
So it's like, what more do you... where it's really exciting. The blocking from our wide receiver core...
No doubt.
...is exciting.
Exactly.
It's
especially
exciting.
Since it's kind of coalescing slash developing at this moment in time. As down this stretch run into the playoffs. This is when you want to be playing well.
One thing
guess what? The Packers are starting to play well.
They are. One thing about Big Dog, and I need you to help me with this. Mm-hmm. Wasn't Big Dog the one who told in that TV interview?
Yes. Which is why I was so shocked that they brought him back.
I was thinking about that the other day. He was the one
that
said Aaron Rodgers had the audible.
On the Yahoo thing.
Against McCarthy.
About the Buffalo game where he had the audible.
I knew that.
And people kept talking. For anyone who doesn't remember or doesn't know what we're talking about, this past offseason, after he had, you know, the season was over, Mercedes Lewis went on a Yahoo video show, and one of the, I think, guest co-hosts was Martellus Bennett, and they were talking about the Buffalo game where Aaron Rodgers literally in the huddle changed, like, basically disregarded Mike McCarthy's call and sent MVS deep up the right sideline and threw it and got a 40-yard gain, etc. And Mercedes Lewis was like, I've never seen anything like that before, where a quarterback just completely disregards what the coach has called and calls his own thing. Now, obviously, the caveat being Mercedes Lewis has played in Jacksonville his whole career, played with some really bad quarterbacks, etc. He's never played with someone like Aaron Rodgers. However, he also went on to say Mike McCarthy didn't know how to use the tight end, like blah, 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 blah. So
it wasn't
none of
just,
that, and yeah. none of that. Well, the reason I was surprised that they brought him back wasn't the sense of like, oh, he ripped on McCarthy or Rodgers or whatever, because of, you know, obviously McCarthy's gone, etc. Like, you're not worried about him bringing back, you know, this player who had a dig at McCarthy. But thinking about Brian Gutekunst and the locker room and how insular the Packers have been historically in the last decade plus, they haven't looked kindly on people talking bad about any aspect of the organization outside of school. Essentially. And yes, at that point, he was a free agent, not a member of the squad, etc. But that was just, to me, it's just funny you bring that up, was kind of surprising that Gutekunst would go back and go get him. And I do think bringing Hackett in from Jacksonville probably played into that a little bit because they had a history together.
Yeah.
You know, Hackett always talks about what a great player he is, what a great man he is, leader in the locker room, etc. I do think he probably went to bat for him a little bit. But all that said, I do think the buy-in is a big deal. Not just the wide receiver blocking, but the role playing. The buy-in of this is my role, this is who I am. And hell, I talked to Danny Vitale about it in the locker room a couple weeks ago. You know, this idea, I jokingly said, you know, I got to get you out there more. I keep telling people how amazing you are in the passing game, blah, 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 blah. And he's very point blank, like, look, man, whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do it. This is who I am. This is who I am to this team. They all like that. Everyone has bought into their role. And that's a big reason for their success. One thing that's not quite a reason for their success is Aaron Rodgers' accuracy or the lack thereof. It was noticeable on Monday night. It was just off. Like whether it was hitting, you know, throwing high to Lazard on that slant, whether he's got Lazard's got a guy beat a step and a half up the left sideline. Rodgers uncorks one and underthrows. It's almost intercepted if the guy just turns around. You know, low to Devontae, just off behind Devontae on that should have been a touchdown at the end of the first half. Now that's still a catch that Devontae needs to make, but it's just noticeable. And
but why do you think that is?
Half the time, it's just a fundamentals thing, like the deep thing. Just step into your throw. Just step into your throw. Enough of this nonsense. The flick of the wrist. Like, just get back to your fundamentals, and half of those will be taken care of. It's just, it's maddening to me. I do want to kind of ask LaFleur about it, but I kind of don't, because what's he going to say? But it's noticeable. Rodgers' accuracy has been an issue. I'm not going to say all year. I'm going to say at times this year it has been an issue, and it really reared its head on Monday.
I think it's been trending that way a little bit, so I wonder what it is, because the offensive line has stepped up, so it's not a question
of... It's crazy how...
I don't think it's a question of pressure, necessarily.
Speaking of the offensive line, how good has David Bakhtiari played? Like, it's so funny that this guy finally makes the Pro Bowl, probably will miss out on All Pro this year just because of the perception around his play early this season when he had a bunch of penalties and, you know, he got beat a couple times for sacks. But I tell you what, in the last month, Bakhtiari has balled out and no one's talking about it because, again, he has set the expectation. Like when you're a 3-time All Pro and then you have a penalty. You maybe have a full start, you know, you have a holding call, whatever, or you give up a sack on third and long when, say, Joey Bosa can just pin his ears back, whatever. People start talking about you and the perception changes. But I tell you what, this last month, Bakhtiari has absolutely regained his form.
And I will say,
no one's talked about it.
You talk about Rodgers' accuracy, but it's like there were a lot of drops. There have been a lot of drops the last two.
Well,
weeks.
And some of those drops are because the ball weren't accurate.
But drops like Devontae had two drops that he should have.
Oh yeah, of course.
On to. Like
Devontae had an off game too. I mean, no doubt about that. No question. I mean,
Gmo's had some drops this year.
Gmo's one of the leaders in drops, no doubt. But still, like things like the slant with Lazard on third and I think it was six. It's way behind him, and Lazard has to like dig it out. But that's somebody who is making a play, who is catching the ball. But it's way behind him. It's like, put it out here. It's like Bill Walsh used to say, I want to write out in front of the numbers so he can keep running. So those are things that used to be routine for Rodgers that just aren't there anymore. Let's switch to the defense, shall we? Talk about this defensive domination.
How much do you think, though, because like not enough has really been talked about this, is how much is Rodgers in the past, right, in a system that he's well-versed in,
right?
He understands, he's so smart that he understands all 20 levels of the offense, right?
Sure, right.
And let's say he's got a new offense, right? You know, how much of this offense is he's thinking too much and maybe his thinking and not understanding the offense as well as he can plays into some of his inaccuracy issues, some of his read issues, right? Because like it's really hard to do your job if you're thinking about doing your job.
Right.
You just need to do your job, right? And so that's easier said than done.
There's two.
I know it's week 16 and into 17.
No. But that thing, you just talked about it. He was in this offense, McCarthy's offense, for like 10 years plus. Like, yeah, I think there's two sides to that coin, right? On the one half, you're like, on the one side, you're saying a slant is a slant. You know, like there's no scheme in the world that makes the slant different. Like it's a slant. Put it out in front of him. But on the flip side, there is specifically a play, I think it's towards the end of the first half in that game, where he has Jamal Williams leaking out on the left side. They're literally like on the doorstep of the end zone. They're in the red zone. And Jamal is the read. Like he looks right at Jamal initially. And Jamal is screaming wide open. And Aaron holds the ball and holds the ball and holds the ball and waits until Jamal turns around and looks at him and then throws it. That's something he wouldn't have done in McCarthy's offense. That's something where I know the offense, I know my guys, I know everything. I'm like a Jedi. I'm going to throw it before he even turns his head.
Yeah.
And it's the difference between if he throws that when Jamal is still running and like before Jamal turns his head, he probably goes in and scores.
Yeah.
Because the defense isn't reacting in time.
Yeah.
But because Aaron stares it down and waits and then pulls the trigger. But again, to your point, that's an unfamiliarity. It's a thing that he hasn't done. It's funny. You go back and you watch those offenses that he played in under McCarthy. Featuring the running backs in the passing game was not a feature, was not one of the primary reads ever. It was always a check down, an auxiliary thing, whatever. Now those guys are featured. So in that instance, it's kind of still, even in week 16, it's a bit foreign. So I kind of understand why, to your point, maybe he's a little gun shy. Maybe he's questioning things in a way he wouldn't have in the past. Although we all know he holds the ball sometimes. That's just what he does.
I mean, that's life. That's life in the Packers.
Someone's spamming the chat and they are going to hide user on this channel. Bye. Sorry, guys. Sorry for the spam in the channel. They are now outro. Defense. I want to talk about one Mr. about to be PAID paid whenever Packers feel like getting around to it, Kenny Clark.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Za'Darius Smith because paid too.
No. Well, he just got paid.
Za'Darius Smith is about to make $1 billion.
He just made $1 billion.
Kenny Clark is about to make $500 million.
I tell you what.
Okay, one thing I want to talk about in this Vikings game, and you could feel it. This is why the national media go F yourselves. Did you like that, Nagler? I did already throw some F-bombs earlier.
Yeah, it's all right.
The pressure from this defense.
Insanity.
I have not seen this kind of pressure from the Packers defense since 1997. Are you kidding me with this?
Let me tell you about something that Za'Darius Smith did. Your boy, Bob McGinn, compared Za'Darius Smith, his performance on Monday night, to a Reggie White performance.
Of course. How can you not? He took the game
that
over.
That pretty much tells you
how many
all
times?
You need
what
to
we
know.
Two turnovers and 6 points?
Three turnovers in the first half.
Three turnovers.
10 points.
10 points. It's 10-9
at half.
Yep. Are you kidding me? That's the defense.
Mm-hmm.
This defense, this is when they say defense wins championships.
There it is.
You're looking
That's
at
the
that.
One.
That's why. Because
That's
no other
one.
Team in the NFL can have three
What's
turnovers
crazy?
In the first half
What's,
and still be in the damn
What's
game.
What's crazy is that it's the Vikings have been playing pretty insane. Damn well coming into that game. Their
Kirk
offensive
Cousins,
line had not been bad.
Kirk Cousins looked so bad in that game.
Well, he had nowhere to go.
It was awesome.
He had nowhere to go with the ball.
He looked like a tool. He is such a tool. But anyway, dude, he looked, it was so great. It was like Kirk Cousins in the first half of the season.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Oh, but you're talking about Za'Darius getting paid. Clearly, he did just get paid.
I know he's on 2 years, right? He's 2 year, right?
I think it's a 4 year deal, if I remember right.
I thought it was 2 years.
No. I don't know.
I don't know anything about
Somebody in the comments, I'm sure, will let us know. But he should be in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. I don't care. He should absolutely be in the conversation. Will he win it? I doubt it.
Is there anyone else who is playing at his level right now on the defensive line?
I would say Chandler Jones and TJ Watt are both in that convo. And Chandler Jones is probably going to get buried because
TJ Watt is taking over games like Za'Darius Smith.
The Steelers have won 8 games with garbage at quarterback. A large part of that is due to their defense and the performance of TJ
Watt. The Steelers get to play the Patriots twice a year.
No, they don't. No. Wrong division.
Did they play the
Patriots? They get to play the Browns twice.
Oh, yeah. They get to play some terrible teams. Also, like, if you're not talking...
The Patriots are, like, one of the best teams in the league. You're, like, you're ruining your narrative.
Dude, the Patriots? Are you kidding? Who have the Patriots played? Have they even played a winning team?
Yes.
You know what?
The Vikings, need to do this.
The Vikings have not... Here's the crazy thing. I saw this stat.
Right.
The Vikings have not beat a winning team.
I saw that.
They've beat a winning team when they the team right. had been winning.
Right.
They actually haven't. So in the last, like whatever.
Aggregate at the end of the year, have they? Is that a winning team? No.
No.
That's who they are. Yes.
That's who the Vikings are.
Correct.
And that's the Patriots. Who have they played? Who? Have they played us? Nope.
Nope.
Have they played San Francisco?
They played the Ravens and the Chiefs and lost to them both.
Oh, the Ravens and the Chiefs. Yeah. So you got, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I hear you.
Exactly my point.
I hear you. But the Packers play the 49ers and they lost.
Not by much.
By a lot. What are you talking about? Al, you like that? That's a shout out to you, buddy. Our producer today is a 49ers fan, so Corey's trying to ignore that fact. But I'm here to keep it real.
Yeah, 49ers fan screwing up my show. I wonder why. I wonder
now
why.
You know.
Now we know.
The truth comes out. The truth comes out. We got 49ers fans producing a Packers show. You wonder why the audio's off.
Wonder why the audio's off. And he's an audio guy, too.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. We got cameras falling down. We got stuff falling over.
Okay, look. Look.
Oh, this should be good.
I am...
You're like debating whether you should say this, which is always great, which is always a sign of something great.
No, I'm about to well, are we off. Talking about the defense? Okay.
We are. We got one more bullet
There's
point.
There's one word, okay? There's one word that I love about this defense, and you can feel it. You could feel it in that game. You could feel it in that game Monday night. You could feel it the whole half. And that word is pressure.
It's true. A lot of it.
So
whole lot.
Much pressure.
And here's
the crazy thing is, we were doing 4-man rushes most of the time.
3-man sometimes.
We're not even blitzing and we're getting pressure. When is the last time? Seriously.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Like 20 years, bro.
It's been a while.
Every play, it wasn't just third down.
Nope.
It was, dude, and he's getting penetration and Patton's finding ways to get penetration with Z to get run defense. Everybody's so worried about our run defense. And literally all we had to be like is, no, just Z. Just have Z do a different gap. A gap, B gap, C gap,
Z gap. Z gap.
Just do
the Z gap.
Z gap.
I'll tell you what. They've really shored up the run defense. Like this whole run kind of in the last month was starting with, you know, that hard to watch Giants game, but like they've done a pretty good job against the run. The Washington game, the Giants game, the Bears game, and then especially against the Vikings
who didn't have their running back.
So I get it. But
well, and that's another
earlier thing. This year, it didn't matter who the running back was.
Honestly, that's probably the biggest story of this year, right? The Packers have managed to put on the field players who have, knock on wherever the wood is, not gotten injured.
Yeah, well.
And that's the first time in a long time that we're this far. So
it's funny. I mean, there was a summer, the whole kind of vibe around training camp was like, oh, this is awfully lenient. Like, they don't practice a lot. Practices are all really short, and they're not really, you know, rocking it as far as physicality goes. And, oh, is LaFleur a first-year coach? You know, we'll see. And then this year, like, yeah, I got a question yesterday in the Extra Cheese chat. Are you worried about all the time LaFleur is giving off? And I'm like, no, man. If there's a coach that's shown that he has his finger on the pulse of his team, it's Matt LaFleur. He has shown. He knows exactly how much they need to work, how much time they can have off, what the rest and recovery time they need. I mean, if the proof is in the pudding, it's these guys staying on the field.
Well, and honestly, if you look at the other teams around the NFL, the Seahawks, classic example, Minnesota, what do those teams not have that we have? Those teams don't have starters playing right now. They have backups playing.
Yeah.
And that has been the difference. In my opinion, that's been the biggest difference for Green Bay this year.
The history of the recent NFL will tell you the healthy teams, they're the ones that go on runs. So hopefully, knock on whatever. I mean, I know Jamal Williams is hurt, but and guys like Kumaro and Vitale are being dinged up. But hopefully, that continues.
And also, back
keep guys on the field.
I feel like I didn't give Kenny Clark his due because I did on Twitter. But like, holy crap! And you said it. The dude. I mean, you don't have to know anything about the defensive line to know how good this guy's been playing.
Well, look, Al. Do we have that Kenny Clark clip? I know we kind of raced over this, but Kenny Clark, look at this. Look at this play. This is third down. This is get off the field time. This is a defensive tackle. Look at, that center is a rookie who they drafted specifically to help in situations like take over. Like, and Kenny just lit him up all day long, all night long, I should
say. So will he be the highest paid tackle in the NFL?
I don't know about highest paid, but he's going to get paid. He is going to get paid. And I guarantee this is the cycle.
They can franchise.
They already, no. They gave him the fifth-year option at the end of this year.
Oh, right.
At the beginning of last summer.
I didn't know that. I don't know how I knew that, but I did know that.
So they've got him, they've got 2 years of control because they got the last year of his normal deal, which is this year, and then they got the fifth-year option. I will say this. This is exactly how this will go. This plays out every single time the Packers sign someone of their own. The headline will come out. The tweet will come out. Whoever reports it, Kenny Clark signs an extension. And it'll be a blockbuster deal. It'll be for huge money. I don't know if it'll be record-setting. I doubt he's the highest-paid dude in the league. That's not going to happen. But he's going to get paid a boatload of cash. Inevitably, some douchebags will be on Twitter going, oh, they totally overpaid. Not thinking, not understanding that, oh, the cap has risen at least $10 million a year every single year.
That's true.
And by the time he reaches, say, the second or third year of the deal, it will be a bargain. That is how Russ Ball works. That is how the Packers operate. And then by week, say, 4 or 5 of the second year of that deal, people will be tweeting about what a deal it is. What a bargain. That's going to happen. It happened with Davante Adams. It happened with David Bakhtiari.
So basically what you're saying
it always happens.
Basically, here's how it's going to play. So all the trolls will be like, they overpaid, so you'll fight all the
100%.
Trolls. 100%. Then like a year and a half, 2 years later, and Andy will be like, that was such a value.
What a great deal. And everyone will be like, I know, right? Not remembering that they completely trolled the shit it actually got announced.
You know what's really funny is?
Like, it's a circadian rhythm. It just happens every single time.
That's what I was just about to say. How many times have I had a rant on this show about appreciating where we are right now?
I think we do that every week, kind of.
Well, but especially in the past, I was looking back at some previous shows.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. But let's finish the defense. Sorry.
I want to give a shout out to Kevin King. Can I address the camera?
Oh my goodness, yes.
I just want to address the camera. Al, can I get my camera here? Thank you. I am done. I am absolutely done with the Kevin King slander from Packers fans. I get if an opponent wants to talk junk about an opposing cornerback. But if you're a Packers fan and you're talking junk about Kevin King, get the fuck out. Kevin King is a baller. Kevin King is a baller, and he deserves your respect. Unlike myself when Corey Banky's on camera.
I was trying to put a G button on the end of your statement, but you ended sooner than I thought. Sorry.
I don't know why I do this show. I'm trying to make content for social that's easily clipped, and you're like, oh, let me ruin it. Why do we have more subscribers? I don't know. If I can promo the fucking show the way I want to, maybe we do a little better numbers-wise, but Banky feels it necessary to hold a cup in front of my face.
The Packers are blocking your face right now.
Hey, speaking of the Packers, if you like this, go to the pro shop. Look at this. You know what the Packers do? The Packers, they talk to us about, hey, we'd like to work with you, and then they send us some glasses, and they say, hey, tell people to shop at the pro shop. That's working with us. So,
They do have
the shop at the pro shop.
They do have the North is not enough stuff. And, Wes Hodd got an NFC North hat.
Well, he's a salaried employee of the Packers.
Where's the Cheesehead TV?
Where's the Cheesehead TV love, right?
NFC North champion hat. I'd love FedEx.
To see it. I'd love to know it.
I'd be wearing that.
Where's the FedEx? Hey, we're more than happy to, hawk your glasses, but how about some, North is not enough swag?
I'm happy to take
for
it.
For your happy minions here. Come on. We give and we give and we give, Banky. So anyway, can we show this Kevin King play?
Yeah, Kevin King.
Look at this. Cover 3. Kevin King's on the backside. Look how he's A, stays wide, and then B, stays as deep as the deepest man, and then makes the interception. That's just a baller play from a baller dude who Packers fans just want to give crap to. And look, this isn't even the best play Kevin King made in that game. It's the most probably consequential. It's a huge turning point. But you can do a cut up of all the great plays he made in this game. But people want to give him crap, and people want to say he's the weak link, and blah, 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 and he's not Alexander. Well, no crap. Yes, he's targeted more than Alexander because Alexander's got the potential to be an all-pro, and offensive coordinators go, well, I better not attack that guy. So, yeah. And they tell Alexander gave up a TD in that game. Kevin King is a baller, and I am over the slander from Packers fans. Packers fans. In quotes.
Are you sure they're Packers fans?
I don't know. Apparently not.
Just because people say they're fans on Twitter doesn't mean they're Packers fans.
Fair point. All right, you ready? No, I don't want to do Lions game preview because they need to win.
We have to do Lions game preview.
Okay, here's the preview. They need to win.
No. I have some stuff.
We got 10 minutes.
I got notes.
You got notes?
Okay.
On the Lions game?
Check this out.
All right.
If the Packers win on Sunday, it will be the first team in the regular season that they ever beat 100 times.
Most of any team ever in the history of the NFL. The only time any team has done it.
I mean, the Bears are right behind them, but
yeah.
But the Lions are right there.
Historically, this is a very important game.
I mean, I'm a little bit, look. The Packers need to win, if only because I really, we need a bye week.
I love how the Packers need to win because it all comes back to you.
Well,
not about the Packers, not about needing rest for their beleaguered bodies. But Corey needs a break.
I really don't want to do New Year's Eve in Times Square and then on my get on a plane, okay? Do it if I have to. Yeah, I'm here for the G.
I hear
you.
You're going to carry the G regardless.
If the G can just take a break, it'd be nice.
Oh my God. I love it. Okay, so we're going to do it. Okay, that's the Lions game preview. They need to win.
Why did you write anything in your script?
Because I didn't expect we were going to restart the show and be like way behind schedule.
Nagler, you got script here.
Okay, here we go. Here's the Lions game preview. Number one, Lions passing game is still effective. I know they're playing a backup quarterback.
Really?
I know. Galladay is a monster. And these guys can still move the football through the air. The Packers cannot take them lightly. Number two, keep the ball away from Jamal Agnew, the returner. He's got a punt return for a touchdown. He's got a kick return for a touchdown. Keep it away from him. I don't care if you kick it out of bounds. Hell, kick it out of bounds, start at the 40. I don't care. Don't let this kid get the football.
Okay.
Number three, control Trey Flowers. And as I indicated before, David Bakhtiari has been balling out. I think it'll be a fun matchup. But I tell you what. He is going to be ready. He's going to be coming. He's going to be ready. He got those two hands to the face penalties in that first matchup, one of which clearly kept the drive alive, allowed the Packers to win the game. He is going to be ready to take it to Bakhtiari. Bakhtiari is going to step up. I have zero doubt. As I've said, he's played really, really well down this kind of stretch. But that environment, although it probably won't be terrible because the Lions are terrible and out of it, and it'll probably be not exactly jiving with sound, noise, whatever. However, it's a fast track, obvious passing situations. You cannot let Trey Flowers get after Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
There you go. There's your Lions game preview.
That was really boring.
That's why I didn't want to do it. Hit it, Al.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. So, this week, it's not really anything about the Packers blogosphere, but it's some Vikings coverage that has kind of taken the internet by storm. Namely, one Star Tribune up there in the old Twin Cities doing a retrospective on the last decade of Minnesota sports. Which I know sounds like an oxymoron, but this tweet took off. LMAO, imagine being as shallow as Minnesota sports fans and listing injuring Aaron Rodgers as one of their top five sports moments of the decade. Now, I got to clear something up because I got this tweet tagged in my mentions like a billion times.
Okay.
Let's make something clear. The author of the piece that was in the newspaper does not mention injuring Aaron Rodgers one time. Doesn't talk about it. Never comes up. There is clearly someone in the art department of the Star Tribune that is enjoying trolling Packers fans because there is that collage that includes Barr's hit on Rodgers. And on the online version, it is, you know, Barr tackling Rodgers is included as one of the pictures. But I just wanted to say to Packers fans, don't rise to the bait. Don't rise to people getting so indignant about it online. It's like, yes, we know the Vikings are classless. We don't have to look any further than A, Mike Zimmer's postgame handshake, but B, the Vikings franchise itself included the injuring of Aaron Rodgers on its hype video before the game Monday yeah. night in the stadium. That tells you all you need to know about how bereft of anything resembling class the Vikings are.
I don't understand it. I feel like if the Packers did the same thing to any other team, if they showed a highlight clip of a Packers player injuring another player, not only would the NFL fine them, but that person would probably be fired by the Packers board. Because it's not just classless, it's just, it's unprofessional, it's everything wrong. It's like, why are you doing that? Like, it's not just trolling people.
Because
like,
it's literally
why are you celebrating
all why, they have.
Why are you celebrating someone getting injured? Like, it's are you crazy? Are you crazy?
All they have.
I would never all celebrate that. I don't celebrate that. There's players that I cannot stand, and I wouldn't celebrate them getting injured.
I agree. It's all they have. It's all they have. It's all offseason.
It's sad.
Vikings fans.
It's sad. And it goes back to Minnesota Nice is bullshit. Okay? Minnesota Nice, they stole it from Wisconsin. They were like, oh, look, Wisconsin.
Like all our old football players.
Wisconsin people are nice. So we're going to make up this term Minnesota Nice because we're kind of like them, but we're not. But we want to be like them.
It's true.
Because, like, if you've ever been to Minnesota, I've met some nice people from Minnesota, but I've met way more nice people from Wisconsin than Minnesota. Okay?
That took a turn.
I have yet to meet a Minnesota Viking fan. No, I take that back because my father-in-law, I'm about to...
Yeah, I almost went, almost stepped into there, Banky.
But here's the thing. I'm really close to converting him. Okay?
Yeah, I can see that.
Would that not be a coup?
That would be, very okay. much so.
So I've got him
very
into Spotted
so.
Cow. I sent him two cases.
I got him into Spotted
Cow. I sent him two cases of Spotted Cow for Christmas. Okay. Mm-hmm. He will not wear. So here's what's crazy. He will not wear Viking stuff to Lambeau because he feels like it's disrespectful. So here's what he wears. He'll wear a Lambeau Field t-shirt. So he won't wear.
Not supporting
right.
the team.
He's not supporting.
But he's
the
supporting
Packers,
the building.
Right. So he feels a little bit. So I'm like, he's so close. And I've even told him. So Monday night we're playing. And like he goes to bed early.
Of course. Oh, I got to tell you. Okay.
No.
You tell the story, and then I tell my dad's story.
So he goes to bed early, right? So, of course, the game is late game, right? Even in Lambeau time, it's late game. We're in Central time.
Yeah, of course.
So I looked at him, and I was like, okay, if you go to bed right now, it's the third quarter, right?
Oh, God.
I'm like, if you go to bed right now, when you wake up, you're going to be a Packers fan. And he was like, I'm going to bed.
I'm at home for Christmas. I was home. I flew back yesterday. So I'm home Monday night watching the game. And I'm getting set up. I got to do the radio show afterwards. So I've got that set up in the living room where my dad has his chair.
Wow. He'd like you set up at the radio show?
Well, the radio show, because I knew he'd be in bed after the game. Like, I knew that was going to, like, there's no way he's making it all the way. But I was like, I set up on the table, the living room table that is in the same room as his chair, but I ain't touching his chair because that's his chair. So I pull up a chair next to it. I'm sitting there, and the game starts, and I'm there by myself. And in the living room, the show place, basically, it's like this one nice room that they keep really pristine.
Yeah.
And, you know, the girls.
It's the living room.
Exactly.
You don't live
that
in.
That no one lives in. My dad always used to joke, yeah, we can only have the finest room for the cats to puke in,
you know,
and the dog
to
crap
call
in.
That room is the viewing room.
Right.
That was the room they put Precisely. The casket in
exactly.
that you actually did your viewing in.
So they have the Christmas tree there, right? In the fireplace, and it's all cozy. So I get, like, the game starts, Aaron Jones fumbles, they hold him to a field goal. And I'm like, oh, God. Commercials come on.
Wait, where are the girls?
They're asleep. They're upstairs. Asleep. They're already in bed. They don't want anything to do with it. They want nothing to do with the Packers. Come on. You know this.
You know what? You know what's
going
to happen?
Those are my girls.
I know you're in the middle.
Would you let me tell this story?
Okay, but you know what's going to happen is?
What?
They're going
to marry Vikings fans. Yes, I know.
Nagler, I'm not going to let that happen. Okay, look. Nagler. They're going to leave home and
literally
they're going to become bigger.
Middle
they're going to become bigger Packer fans than you or me. They're going to leave. They're going to leave home and they're going to miss it so much.
Pretty sure that's not going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Anyway, so the commercial comes out. I'm like, where is my dad? He's not sitting in his chair. What the hell? So I go into the living room and there's my dad with a book. My dad is reading a book during the Packers game. On the same floor. He's not even in bed. He's like on the same floor. He's like 20 steps away, but not watching. This is my dad. Mr. Lotta Ball Game Left himself, who like indoctrinated me into the ways of Packer fandom. Like my dad. And I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? He said, oh, I can't. I'm too nervous. I get too much anxiety. I've got to get to sleep. I've got to be up in the morning. He's got some appointment. Yeah. So he's reading. He's like, I can't. I'm just too nervous. I can't. I'll see it in the morning. I was like, all right. So I go back in the living room. The other room. I still don't sit in his chair at this point. Cause I'm like,
Dad's chair. Might want it.
He's like, he'll come around, right? So sure enough, like about 10 minutes later, Dad walks in and goes, oh, so what's the score? And I'm like, oh, you know, it's 3-3. You know, and I tell him, I give him the recap, basically, of what happened up to that point. I'm like, they can't hold on to the football, etc. So my dad goes, oh, yeah, okay. He goes back out to go keep reading. I'm like, what is going on? So finally, I'm like, screw this. I sit in the chair. I sit in my dad's chair watching the game. I got my beer. I got a Lightning Kugels. It's beautiful. And my dad literally goes upstairs and goes to bed at halftime. He, like, walks in and goes, what's the score? Like, it's 10-9. And I give him the update again about everything that's happened. Three turnovers, held him to 10 points, had a chance for a touchdown there at the end, didn't quite get it, 10-9. Dad goes, okay. I don't see him. I don't hear from him the rest of the night, right? I'm watching the game. I'm going crazy. Yep. Like, you know, whatever. The Packers win. I'm doing great. I do the post-game show, go to sleep. Wake up in the morning. My dad watched the rest of the game in his bed on his phone. And, like, didn't say anything, never made a sound. Mister, I'm so nervous, I can't handle it, I can't do it. Ugh, let me just check out the game.
Welcome to 2019.
I know. I was just like, what are you doing? And then he said, the first thing he said the next morning was, God, Aaron Rodgers, what's going on there? I'm like, Dad, we won. Who cares? Like, at that point, I'm like, I don't care.
See, I thought what he was going to say was, why'd you sit in my chair, asshole?
No, I know. No. He was fine with that, but he was just like, what's going on with Aaron? Why is he like so off? Like, I don't understand it. I'm like, Dad, they won the game.
Well, here's the thing, right? Aaron Rodgers was so off in that game, and we won.
I know. That's what's so great.
That's awesome.
That's what's great.
That's awesome. It goes back to, I had this tweet, which is 11 by 11 by a second. And that's the variable, right? 11 times 11 times 1. And every second, and there's 60 seconds, and you've got millions of variables. And the fact that we are operating like a team this year, more so than probably any other year since, 2011.
I'd say 2014. I think the 2014 team
really
coalesced down the stretch. You know, if Brandon Bostic does what he should have done.
Nagler.
I know, I said the name. Nagler. Sorry.
I'm going to break this Relax acoustical panel over your head right now. Why?
Saying.
Why?
2014.
Why do you have to trigger me?
2014,
I was
baby.
Feeling good in the neighborhood,
yep.
And now you got to trigger
were.
Me.
Yep.
Okay?
I feel you.
Please don't. We're 12-3, Nagler.
Correct. About to sweep the division on Sunday, by the way. Should we take some chat questions?
Yeah, I got some lined
up. Some lined up in the queue there.
By the way, if you gave us a super chat and I didn't get to, it's... I'm sorry. Matt Elke with the Go Pack Go and Seahawks for 1 week. And then we got Dustin. Thanks for the super chat. Merry Christmas, Aaron and Corey. Can Tyler Irvin do for this team what Desmond Howard did for the Super Bowl 31 team?
That seems a bit much because we saw a lot more out of Desmond Howard as far as productivity. I mean, he broke a bunch, both kickoff and punt returns, for touchdowns, and we clearly, obviously, haven't seen that from Irvin. However, I think he can replicate something akin to, you know, positioning the offense in a way that we clearly hadn't seen prior to his arrival in Green Bay this year. He can certainly help the offense in that regard.
Gary Remus, thanks for the super chat. All offseason, I heard the Packers had the least desirable head coach opening in the NFL, a dysfunctional power structure, and coach-killing QB. So where are these experts now?
Shh. Excellent question. Hey, and shout out to Mark Murphy.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to say that
too. Making the right choice.
Mark Murphy right now is sitting in the catbird seat, and this time last year, he was sitting on a perch that he was about to get pushed off of.
It's crazy, right? Now, the only caveat there is Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy was the 2018 NFL Coach of the Year. Took the Chicago Bears to a division championship, got into the playoffs, won a bunch of games. This year, he has looked like complete garbage. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Matt LaFleur,
yeah,
obviously.
Here's why that's not going to happen.
The difference, obviously, is Aaron Rodgers versus Mitch Trubisky.
Well,
however,
that's a huge difference, and you got to look at Gutekunst, right?
Yeah.
Dude, they could have took Mahomes, and they took Trubisky.
Of course.
You cannot blame that on Matt Nagy.
No, of course not. Of course not.
But they took Trubisky over, and everybody's like, Nagy wouldn't have known what to do with Mahomes. And I'm like, bro.
No. It was John Fox back then. That's
whatever. Whatever, but he would have known if Nagy had Mahomes right now.
Right,
I would be very scared of the Bears.
Yeah, for good reason.
Very scared.
Yeah, understandably.
Where am I? Hello, Zach. Thanks for the super chat. Please fix the audio only here in the left channel. All right, we fixed it.
That was a couple hours ago.
Show, but I got to give it up for the super chats. I try to get them all in there.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin, shoot. The North is not enough unless you're the Vikings, in which case it's enough for a banner. Will they put a 2019 wild card second place winner banner? Oh, you know they will.
I like it.
You know they will. Tyler, thanks for the super chat. Cooper, Aguilar, Sanders, headline, free agent wide receiver, thoughts?
What? Aguilar, Sanders, headline? I think they'll draft somebody before any of that nonsense.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
I have no idea. That's why you're here. M. Grabowski, 70. Have you guys seen Rise of Skywalker? Thoughts on that mess of a movie? Absolutely no point for Palpatine to come back.
Spoilers, dude. No,
I have not seen it.
I've seen it. I had a lot of fun. It's big, dumb fun. I hated most of the major storytelling choices, but I still loved it.
I haven't seen it. Tyler Hartsome, Cheesehead TV meetup for first playoff game coming from California. Maybe.
Not the first playoff game. Well, maybe the first playoff game. We'll see.
Maybe. Nagler won't be there, so no one will want to go, but maybe then he'll retweet me.
Okay, wait. Let's put this out here. Like, since we want to go here, right? Corey Behnke, businessman extraordinaire, comes up to me earlier today and says, you know, I was thinking about the playoffs and, like, you know, you don't really need to go, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, yeah, no, I kind of agree. Like, well, I should be here. So then later in the day, he's like, you know, we could do this. Since you're going to be here, we should do watch parties. So, you know, you should have just come out and said, you know, I'd really like to do watch parties during the playoffs. And then I'd been like, yeah, that's fine. But, like, you serendipitously, like, made the, well, I don't think you really need to go to Green Bay. But then it's like, but I really want to do watch parties. So that was the whole reason for the first conversation, which we should have just had the second conversation first.
No, I wanted to see what your honest opinion was because I cared about it and I wanted you to have buy-in. See how that works? All right.
No idea what you're talking
about. Last time the Packers played a Super Bowl in Miami, my grandparents were there. This year, I will be visiting them in Florida on Super Bowl weekend. That would be something.
You are correct, sir.
All right. Here's the thing, people. Here's the thing I want you to understand. If the Packers go to the Super Bowl, guess what favorite blog of yours has been credentialed for the Super Bowl?
The Daily Norseman?
Nagler.
I don't know. What is it?
CheeseheadTV.com.
Oh, amazing.
We've been credentialed. Thanks to you.
Well, thanks to Cheesehead TV and the power of the brand.
So there you go. So if
we will be there all week, people.
We will be there. And you know what's funny? If we go to the Super Bowl, if it's a big if, people.
Huge.
So let's knock on some wood. If we go to the Super Bowl, we will have transplants every day.
Every day for a week.
Every day for 1 week.
How can you handle that?
How many super chats are we going to get? Zero. Craig Brock Miller, are we sitting anyone on Sunday?
Jamal Williams.
And Kumerow. And Kumerow.
Kumerow, maybe. He's ill. But what is this thing? I've seen so many people. I got a DM from someone the other day who said they were arguing with their friends because somebody so-and-so said they'll probably sit Rodgers. Like, people, they're still playing for something. You can safely ignore anyone wondering if they're going to sit somebody. They're not going to sit anyone. They're going to sit injured guys because they're injured. But that's it. They're still playing for something.
I don't know where we are. Chad Bartel, thank you for the super chat. Championship defense shows when it matters most. Could not agree more.
Down with that.
Braden Stiegel on Facebook. Do you think they cut Jimmy after this year? I 100% think they have to. Good question.
Hell, I thought they had to last year and they didn't. But yes, I do think they will.
Yeah, I think they do. Federico Brenes, Go Pack Go from Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, what's up?
What?
Go Pack Go.
Last but not least, Brock Rannick, thank you for the super chat. Corey, need the old-fashioned video before the playoffs. Okay, look, people.
He put the recipe out.
You know what's funny?
I was shocked.
My grandfather texted me, right, and he was like, "What are you doing?"
I was shocked.
And I was like, "It's not rocket science. It's all about the execution.
It's the secret sauce, though."
No, it's not, though. It's about the execution and the ingredients, okay?
So if you
don't know, on Twitter, I posted the recipe. But yes, I think we're going to do a video. What I want to do is I want to make a video of like old fashions and Bloody Marys, like for Cheesehead TV.
Right.
But I want to be the voice in the video, but like have someone more attractive than me.
we'll find the most attractive. We'll have Mike Abbott do the video. And like someone.
No, I want someone more attractive. That's like the bartender. That's like your Wisconsin bartender kind of person. You know, like
you see the dichotomy there. Anyway, we should do
Nagler.
Just do the hands.
Don't talk
just
shit
do
about it. Wisconsin. Nagler.
Really? Nagler. Just do one of our videos where we do the shot from above, and you just make it, and you just see your hands, and then you can do a voiceover.
I don't want to do it.
The people are demanding it, Banky.
I know.
Are we done?
We're done. Thanks, everybody.
Well, that'll do it for this week's installment of Packer Transplants Live. We'd like to thank everyone who stopped by to chat some Packers with us. That's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information at past press conferences? Did we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week, it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.